Well, it's easy for the Sunday of lecture week to get lost in the shuffle. We have great anticipation of the events later this week, but we also want to make sure the Lord's Day is all that it can be. And your presence here this morning has certainly done that. We welcome you. We are excited, and you can feel the excitement in the air as we look forward to the next 4 days. And we're so thankful that you've come to participate with us. I think I'm most excited for our newer members, for those who have yet to experience the lectures with us. And I look forward to you falling in love with this annual event as we have. Our first speaker has made his appearance. Wilson Adams is with us this morning. He is one of my favorite preachers. I say that because the other speakers aren't here yet. But to give you an idea of just how long he's been coming to the lectures, his first year here, he stayed with Ernest and Helen Wardlow, and he came back anyway. But we're excited for Wilson. Julie will be coming in this afternoon. Of course, Tim Stevens will be with us tonight to preach. Some of you may have not heard Tim Stevens preach before. He's an outstanding gospel preacher. We look forward to hearing him this evening. So thankful for this day and our time together in the Word of God. I want to read from John chapter 14 to begin. I want to invite you to that opening, John 14. We're going to read the first 8 verses to begin our study. John 14, verse 1, beginning. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father." When I became a father in the spring of 81, no, that's a George Strait song. I was 6 years old in the spring of 81, but I did become a father in the summer of 01. And it was at that time that I began to more fully appreciate God as a father. Oh, I understood it in concept. I knew he was our Father. But it was then that I began to understand in a greater way his love for his children and what he would do for his children. When you think about the Jewish people in the Old Testament, they had names for God and understood God in ways like Elohim, power, or Lord of hosts, who directs and commands the army, or he is Yahweh, Jehovah, he's holy, he's king. But they did not call Jehovah Father. even when he said about Israel, you are my firstborn. When it came time to come into his presence at Mount Sinai, they were afraid to speak to him and had to send Moses to be the intercessor. Jesus came to show us the Father. Oh, he was still holy and mighty. He was still King and Creator and Lord of hosts. But when Jesus referred to him, he said, my Father. My Father's house. My Father's kingdom. Even the passage that Eric read at the table this morning, the throne of my Father. There was a famous judge in a southern county who was renowned, and everyone feared him, not just to stand in his court, but to see him in a restaurant somewhere, to pass by him in town. This was the judge, and he was to be feared. And somebody said on one occasion about him and in his honor, is there anyone here who doesn't fear this judge? And a little 10-year-old boy raised his hand. And they said, how can you not fear him with everyone else? And the boy said, because he is my Father. Jesus came to show us, as he called him, my Father. Of those seven sayings on the cross, three of them are directed to God, and two of them begin with, Father, forgive them. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. In the garden, what did he pray? Abba, Father. But he came to show us the Father. And so he also referred to him as your Father. Your Father. No one has beheld God at any time, John said, but the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. John 1 and verse 18. Jesus wants to make his Father our Father. And I want you to see how he communicates that, especially as it's found in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. I want you to go there in your Bible. Now, if you're like me, we're going to look at some verses this morning that you knew all along, and you understand what they mean and what God is to us. But all of a sudden, you notice that when Jesus explains these, he speaks of God as Father. In Matthew 6 and verse 1, he says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the city corners in order to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When Jesus came to show us the Father, he shows us, number one, that your Father sees you. Your Father sees. Now here his point is with regard to doing things in a showy manner, of somehow flaunting our righteousness, that we are better than others, that people should notice us because of our good works. And Jesus' point is, you don't have to make it a big production. You can do it in your inner room in private because your Father sees. He sees you. Your Father knows you. Why? Because you're his child. Now we understand that we are all God's children in relation to creation. That he made us in his image. He formed us. But this is not just a matter of someone who sires a child. Any male can do that. This is a father who has a relationship with his child. He sees. Your Father sees. I was talking to a father who adopted their first child. And he said we went through all the interviews and all the paperwork and all the things necessary. And finally the call came. And we went to get the child. And he said, when I laid eyes on that baby, he instantly became my son. Mine. Do you know God feels that way about you? Your Father, when he sees you, that he would say the same thing that he said about his beloved Son in whom he is well pleased. This is mine. Your Father sees. Your Father cares. As a result, keep your place here, but notice what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. Just as Jesus was able to pray to his Father and say, Abba, Father, notice what spirit he has given us in Romans chapter 8 in verse 12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Jesus, show us the Father. My Father, he said, shall be your Father. We were in Best Buy several months ago, and we were looking at the specials they had on the laptops. And sure enough, a little boy got separated from his parents. We never saw him, but we heard him because he was calling out, Abba! Abba! Your Father sees. He hears when you cry out, Abba, Father. Because Jesus came to show us the Father. In Matthew 6, he continues in verse 7. And when you are praying, he said, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way, our Father who art in heaven. When Jesus showed us the Father, he shows us, number two, that our Father knows. He sees, and therefore he knows. Your Father knows. When you say, our Father, he already knows. He is aware. He knows the circumstances of your life. Is that not something that causes you to tremble? Just think of all the people in the auditorium this morning. How amazing that is, that he knows each one here. Now think of all humanity. Those billions of people, and God knows me. And he knows when I'm hurting. He knows when I'm afraid. He knows when I'm discouraged. Your Father knows. Later on in the chapter and the section about worry in Matthew 6, that's his point in verse 32. You're not to be worried or be anxious about things like food and clothing. Why? Well, that's what the Gentiles are concerned about. All these things, verse 32, the Gentiles eagerly seek. What's his point? These are people outside of a relationship with God. They don't have the assurances you have. And what assurance is that? Look at the next phrase. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You're his child. He feeds the sparrows, the birds. I hadn't put bird seed out since it started getting hot. But you know, I hadn't looked out there one morning and seen a bird sitting on the fence, wringing his feathers, saying, what are we going to eat today? He ain't coming out. God has provided for them to eat elsewhere. And you, his child, are fretting away your life, things he already knows. He clothes the grass of the field, Jesus said. Things that last for one day. Here today and gone tomorrow. And he takes care of it. You think he won't do that, your heavenly Father, for those whose destiny is eternity, who will live forever? Your Father knows. Jesus showed us that. So back in Romans chapter 8, again, that was Paul's point later in the passage. Romans 8 and verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? If God is able to provide forgiveness of sins, is there anything too difficult for him? If he's able to satisfy our greatest need, has he not earned our trust in the daily things of life? That doesn't make them trivial. Doesn't make them unimportant. But what Jesus wants you to remember is your Father knows. He knows. Show us the Father. Matthew 6, verse 9. Pray then in this way, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Jesus, show us the Father. Number 3, your Father forgives. Your Father is a forgiving Father. He is not just our Father, He is our Redeemer. And He is for us. People blame God, and they turn away from God because they think He's against them. What father would do that for his children? What heavenly Father? Your Father forgives. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul also quotes from the Abba Father passage. And I want you to notice how he uses it in this context. Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is an owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Paul said that we were enslaved. Because of our sins, we had a spirit of slavery. We were in bondage. And what our Father did was set us free. He adopted us. He forgave our sins and caused us not only to become His children, but to become a fellow heir with Jesus. When we all get to heaven, He's not going to say, this is my son, and these are all my stepchildren. We're going to reign with the Son. We're going to have the blessings and privileges of being children of God. Because your Father forgives. He receives us back. He welcomes us. He gives us a home with Him. Jesus, show us the Father. Your Father forgives. There's a beautiful hymn written by Charlie Couchman, simply called Abba Father. Abba Father, by your grace I'm reconciled, for you found me, freely loved me, washed me clean, and called me child. Abba, Father, who am I that I should be fellow heir with the begotten, chosen for your family? Abba, Father, by your grace I lift each prayer, knowing you will bend to listen to my smallest joy or care. Abba, Father, yours at last. And this I know, that to love as you have loved me, in your likeness I must grow. A child of God, I sing this song. I'm adopted, I belong. Loved and chosen, child of promise. Abba, Father, I am yours. Is God your Father? Jesus has shown us the Father and declared, no man comes to the Father but through me. Would you come to Jesus, the true and living way, this morning? There is no other way. Would you picture your loving Father, arms outstretched, ready to rejoice? Would you come confessing your faith in Jesus and repenting of your sins, trusting that your Father forgives? If we can help you this morning to make God your Father, come now as we stand up and as we sing.